Well, it's lovely to be here with you, and really appreciate partnership with Richard and Kim and the team here. So greetings from Woodlands Church. It was great yesterday. It's lovely to have some guests here who've recently moved to Bristol from Hong Kong, because yesterday I spent most of the day with 700 Hong Kongers down at College Green. I don't know if you know that 60,000 Hong Kong people have moved to Bristol and South Gloucestershire in the last 18 months. Did you know that? Actually, because of some of the political trouble there, again, it's not been in the news as much as kind of Ukraine and some of the other things, but actually, because of all that's going on there, 6,000 have come to the Bristol. And so yesterday we had a big welcome event. The church is together down in College Green. We had between 700 and 800 Hong Kong residents who had newly moved to Bristol. And it was just a kind of a welcome to the city, welcome to the area. There was kind of Hong Kong street food, there was face-painted bouncy castles, all the things that, just to say, we love the fact you've come to our city. You being here is going to enrich all that we are. So it's lovely to see you here this morning, and a real welcome to you. Richard very kind of bravely said I could speak on whatever I wanted to this morning. So I'm not quite sure how you're feeling, or maybe how people in your workplace, in your community, how they're kind of feeling at the moment, because I think there's all kinds of things that are fed into, whether it is the pandemic, whether it's kind of the things that we see on our TVs about Ukraine, whether it's the cost of living and the fuel increases. Actually, there's a whole stack of stuff that's going on within our community that I think have left people feeling a little bit kind of as if the kind of the mojo has kind of gone, that the sense of joie de vivre has kind of, where has that gone? Well, kind of what is happening? And although kind of that we can look and see that happening in the world, and somehow the kind of 24/7 news feed, I don't think helps anybody's mental health well. I know in our household we now ration the news. My wife can only watch the news once a day because there's just so much going on that you think actually it can just, the weight of the world suddenly becomes on our shoulders through our TV screens, through our media feeds. And we feel that in the world, but sometimes I think, actually, how do we as believers, how do those of us that love Jesus, how do we kind of feel at the moment? And I think maybe for some people there's maybe the similar kind of thing. Although we believe in God and believe in his word and we have hope and we trust, actually, I think for certain people within Woodlands Church, I'm not sure here, actually, there's probably a similar kind of thing of, life's just not quite as it was, as it should be, as it could be. How are we going to remedy that? And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about perseverance. How to keep on going when things are hard. What is it about trusting and believing in God's word and his ways that helps us when things are tough? When things aren't all that we had hoped they would be? So, perseverance. Perseverance, I'm not sure what you think of when you think of that word. Grim determination, gritted teeth, just keep on going. And it kind of has this flavour of effort to it. Now, just before I just want to make a kind of clarity between effort and earning. Because I think there's a big difference between effort and earning. Sometimes I think Christians can get into a little kind of state of where they feel that I need to do something to earn God's presence, earn God's love, earn God's forgiveness, earn the fact that I'm part of his family. What can I do to earn God's favour? Now, that is totally wrong. Actually, there's nothing we can do to earn God's love. He just loves us. Outrageous as it seems, it's true. God loves you. Actually, there's nothing you can do that will make God love you more. And that you can't pray more, read your Bible more, go to church more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He just loves you. Actually, there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Your failure, your brokenness, your sin. Actually, God just 100% loves you. Actually, you can't earn that. Actually, you can't earn your place in God's family. It's Jesus' death on the cross, his death and resurrection. That it's grace. It's a free gift There's nothing we can do to earn the fact that we're a daughter or a son of the living God. Actually, there's nothing we can do to earn forgiveness, the removal of shame and guilt and to know that freedom. Actually, there's nothing we can do to earn that. It's a gift of God. So before we look at perseverance, I just want to say, for some of you this morning, you just need to hear that. Actually, you just need to hear that God's on your side. He's feeling in a good mood. He's there for you. And there's nothing you can do to make God, to change God's mind, to twist his arm. That is true. But as you read through the Gospels of Jesus, about Jesus and the epistles, actually you do find there's a little bit of effort that's required. Not to earn anything, but maybe to receive kind of what God is freely giving to us. So when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, that sounds like a bit of effort. It sounds like it's a choice. It sounds like it's a hard choice to take up our cross and follow him. There's some effort when Paul says, fight the good fight. Run the race. The discipleship life, I think, does require effort. Now, that effort isn't about earning. The effort is about obedience. The effort is about making space in our broken lives for the kingdom of God to break in. But we do need to put some effort in. And that's where perseverance comes in. Perseverance is about how do we keep on going? How do we make some effort, not to earn God's love and forgiveness, but the effort to continue to follow God's love, his calling on our lives? And whether that's for you personally, you need to persevere. Actually, whether it's great to hear 10 years of the church fellowship, actually, there's something about persevering. God gave you a vision at the start, and actually you need to persevere in that vision, because you could just say, well, we had a vision, God gave it to us, and we're just living it out. But there's some choice you need to make as well. Actually, there's some effort that needs to be made to see the call of God, the vision of God for this church in 10 years' time, continuing to evolve. So, perseverance. How to keep on going when things are tricky. Here's what James says. I love the book of James, maybe because I'm a slight activist, and of course I have faith, but I love to see some of that faith worked out in practice. And so James just has some very common sense kind of things to say. So here's what he says. He says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I wonder if you're with James there. When trials come your way, do you look at them with a smile on your face and consider it pure joy? I'm not sure if many of us do, but hold on there. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many of you want to be mature and complete, not lacking anything? Me, please. Actually, that's what perseverance does. Perseverance helps you do that. He goes on to say in verse 11 of 1 James, blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised for those who love him. Crown of life. That sounds nice. If God says there's a crown of life for those who persevere, what does that look like? How do we make those choices to persevere? In chapter 5, he finishes off by saying this: brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The Lord's full of compassion and mercy. That's great news. Amen. So, James says, perseverance. How do we keep on going? So, just four quick questions. What is perseverance? What is perseverance? Well, the dictionary will say it's continued effort to do or achieve something, even when this is difficult and takes a long time. Okay, it's continued effort. It's not earning. Continued effort to do or achieve something, even when this is difficult and takes a long time. Now, for me, that sounds like the discipleship life. The life of following Jesus and the crown of glory that one day we're going to get. Actually, we're working that out day by day, choice by choice, trial by trial. Actually, it's continued effort. Discipleship, it's not the easiest life choice. I don't know when you became a Christian whether you thought all your problems were going to be sorted out and only to discover that they've only just started. That there's something about making that choice to follow Jesus that it's not the easiest life choice, it's the best one. It's difficult to follow Jesus in a world that's so against him. It's difficult to live for truth and for justice. Actually, it's difficult to trust God and believe when our prayers aren't being answered how we'd like them to be answered. But there's something about perseverance, continued effort to do and achieve something, even when it's difficult and takes a long time. I know for myself at school, I was kind of slightly dyslexic, and reading was just super hard. And spelling and all that kind of stuff, I just got it all muddled up. But I just knew that if I was going to, I thought I wasn't stupid, but it was just hard. And I had to put the effort in. And I had to put the effort in to kind of to keep on reading when all the words got jumbled up and keep on with my spellings. And it was continued effort to do or achieve something, even when it was difficult and takes a long time. Jesus calls us to lay our lives aside. It takes perseverance. So, when do we need perseverance? Well, I suppose the easy answer is all the time. Actually, we just need perseverance all the time. Actually, we need all the time. We need perseverance when things are tough, as James says, when trials come our way. And I don't know many of you very well, and I'm not sure what trials you're facing at the moment. But I know sometimes there's trials of sickness, and that somehow you're praying to God for healing and it's not changed. I know maybe for some of you there's financial pressures and difficulties that you're wondering how it's going to kind of work out. I know for some of you there's relationships that have somehow gone awry, and they're people you dearly love and they're family members, and reconciliation seems to be a million miles away. And when things are tough, you need perseverance. When you're looking for breakthrough, you need perseverance. When you're disappointed with God, you need perseverance. You need perseverance to keep on being you. I don't know what you're like, but I know for me, sometimes I look at other people and I compare myself to them. And I think, if only I was like them, life would be easier or better. And I know that I need to persevere with being me. I need to persevere with who God made me to be. I'm a slight introvert, and the job that I'm in, church pastoring, tends to be quite a lot of extroverts, particularly the larger the church that gets, the more extrovert the personality can be. And I think sometimes maybe I ought to be a bit more extrovert, a bit more kind of jokey, laughy kind of. And I think, well, actually, no, I've got to persevere on being me, because God's made me to be me. And the way that I bless the church most and bless the world most is to be generally who I am. But I need perseverance to keep on being me, because I'm tempted to change myself to be like other people. I need perseverance when it comes to wholeness and to know what it is, my brokenness, my selfishness, my arrogance, my pride, all these kind of things that can creep in, and I know I need perseverance to find personal wholeness and breakthrough. We need perseverance all the time. Okay, why is it that we need perseverance? I think there's four things for me why. I think the first thing is that we're involved in a battle. And I think that's why Paul says fight the good fight, which sounds like a little bit of effort is required. Actually, we're involved in a battle. We're involved in a battle that is a good God against the forces of darkness. I mean, that battle can be seen globally, and whether it is in places like Yemen or Ukraine, there's things going on. Again, the political situation in Hong Kong, you think actually there's global things that there seems like there's a battle going on. Actually, for us, there's personal things. There's personal battles that we face, kind of fighting our own demons at times and the own darkness that seems to consume us. There's a battle that is local. How do we reach our local community with the good news of Jesus? We're in a battle. We need perseverance. There's some battles we fight and we lose. There's some battles we fight and we win, but we need to keep on fighting. That's what, fight the good fight, run the race, Paul says. Why do we need perseverance? Actually, sometimes kind of good things don't come easily. I mean, sometimes we'd like to just pray and or just or ask, invite the Holy Spirit to just sort things out. And we know that we need perseverance because the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives is a patient thing. Fruit doesn't just appear overnight. I've got some great raspberries in my garden at the moment, and they've blossomed, and they can just actually put... I'm still going to wait another 3 or 4 weeks before the full fruit arrives. And I need patience, need perseverance to kind of keep on pulling the weeds out round about it and watering it. We need perseverance because good things from God don't necessarily come easily. Actually, we need perseverance because our discipleship life is a battle with our flesh life that wants to rule. I'm not sure how many of you have read a book by John Mark Comer called Live No Lies. Have you come across that book? If you've not, it's a great book. It's a great book. It looks at the devil, the flesh, and the world, and about how we should battle, how we should fight against those things. And he says that our flesh life wants to rule, but when we allow Jesus in, we need to persevere, to die to self, to live to him. And why do we need perseverance? I think the task and mission, actually the good news of Jesus needs to get to everybody. Every man, woman and child needs to hear about Jesus. And that doesn't come easily. In fact, I think one of the real challenges to the church in the West at the moment, in the UK, and I know for us at Woodlands and maybe for you here, is that there's some things that we do and nobody in our communities will complain. So I used to lead community church in South Mead, and we do a single parents fair. Nobody complained. We'll run a food bank. No one complains. We'll do things like the noise, clearing gardens or whatever. No one complains. As soon as you start to say, Jesus is the only way to get to know God as Father, you can't say that. How arrogant, how conceited. And so what happens is, because of the kickback we contend around the gospel, we don't persevere with preaching the gospel. We persevere with doing acts of kindness because no one complains about that. But as soon as we start saying, but Jesus is the only way to know God as Father, but we need to persevere because it is the truth. Salvation is found in no other name. There is no other way apart from Jesus to know God as Father. Other religions may show you God as creator or God as judge, but it's only in Jesus that we see God as Father. We need to persevere. We need to persevere with mission. Persevere when it's hard, when we feel slightly rejected, or we feel, oh, here comes Preacher Tim trying to sort us out. But there's the love of God made known in Jesus. We need perseverance to keep on going. It's interesting that Peter, 2 Peter, says this about why we need perseverance. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, here's these things, including perseverance. If you possess these in increasing measure, it'll keep you from being ineffective in your life and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Here's what Paul is kind of saying, is that, are you a Christian? You've got faith. Fantastic. Okay, add to your faith goodness. Okay, add to what you believe, your works, your goodness. Well, how do you know what is good? Well, you need knowledge. You need knowledge of what the Bible says. It's not just about a social norm of what is good. It's what God says is good. So add to your knowledge goodness. Add to your goodness, knowledge. Add to your knowledge, well, once you know what you should be doing, you've got to jolly keep on going. You need self-control. So not to do what I think's right, but to do what God thinks right. To your knowledge, add self-control. To add self-control, you therefore add perseverance. Once you know what it's done, once you've decided you're going to do it, you've got to just keep on doing it. If you keep on doing it, you find that you become godly kind of people. There's a godliness. People look at you and think, there's something about you that's different from me. There's a godliness. Godliness then should show itself in brotherly affection, mutual affection. And of course, that results in an agape, self-giving love. And the reality is that is a kind of like a circle that should keep on going around. That there's something about those things that in our discipleship life, we persevere. And it's not going around in circles. It's a bit like looking down a spiral staircase. If you see someone coming up a spiral staircase, it looks as though they're going in circles. Actually, what's happening is they're getting higher. And as we follow that circle round of how we add, Peter says, this to this to this to this, we're going up the spiral staircase. Actually, we find that we're people with perseverance, that we become, it keeps us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So lastly, as I finish, my wife will often say, Tim, when you're preaching, don't just inspire them about things. Tell them how to do it. People want to know. Well, how do we jolly do that, Tim? Come on, tell us. So how do you do it? Here's just a few things that I think. I think perseverance isn't grim determination. Sometimes we can just think, oh, you know what? I'm just going to grip my teeth. Okay, Tim said it. I've got to persevere. So I'm going to go back and whatever trials I'm facing, I'm going to just going to do it. And because I think actually grim determination is not necessarily the how you should do it. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, there was a church who had defaulted to grim determination. It was the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus, it says this, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. Sounds positive, doesn't it? Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. How do you persevere? Actually, it's not about grim determination. It's about knowing and welcoming, accepting the love of God. Actually, it's about remembering. We had that earlier on. It's about remembering. This church in Ephesus, when it was first planted, the repentance was so enormous that people who'd been giving their lives to witchcraft and sorcery, they brought all their books and all their kind of clutter to do with the occult, and they had a big bonfire in Ephesus. And it tells you, kind of Luke records how much that bonfire was worth, how much the kit that was burnt was worth. And today's money, it's £5 million. They had a bonfire and they burnt £5 million worth of stuff. Why? Because they'd found in God a love that just totally changed everything. And their love that was at first, they said, actually, you've got into grim determination. Grim determination. But actually, don't forget what happened at first. Actually, there's something about perseverance that comes out of a love. How do we persevere? Well, we say, rather than grit my teeth, say, God, I want to know your love for me. Actually, God, will you reveal more and more your love for the body? Actually, God, will you show me more and more your love for the lost? Now, somehow when we appreciate God's love for us, we love God more. Actually, we love one another more. Actually, we love the world more. Actually, how do you persevere? It's not about a choice to grim determination. It's about welcoming the love of God. Now, when you welcome and know and understand the love of God, of course you want to keep on going. Of course you want to be living the genuine kind of life that sees the love of God touching your life more, touching the lives of those around about you, touching those that are lost. How do you persevere? Welcome the love of God more into your lives. And we're going to pray in a moment. I suppose the second thing, how do you persevere? I think with other people. Hebrews 10 says that about with other people, doesn't it? Kind of where it talks about not giving up. So this is Hebrews 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And let's consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Actually, how do we persevere? We need one another's help. And whether it's meeting here on a Sunday, whether it's meeting the prayer triplet or mentoring, whether it's a midweek group, actually, how do you persevere? You need other people who can cheer you along, who can encourage you, give you courage to keep on going. I mean, that's the deal, isn't it? To say we're going to stand along one another. And I think, how do we do it? We do need God's help. We need God's help. I mean, Jesus in Luke, he says this. But the seed on good soil, the parable of the sower, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. How do we persevere? It's by hearing the word of God. It's taking this word and believing it and trusting it, encouraging, provoking each other to live according to what God's saying, what God's doing. And a community that does that can really help people face trials. At Community Church, we've just set up a little group for Cantonese Hong Kong, for Cantonese speakers who come from Hong Kong. It's interesting, actually, that there's a Hong Kong influencer who writes about Bristol and recommends all the new builds around South Gloucestershire. So actually quite a few, although I think you're St Werburgh's, is that right? But there's actually quite a few Hong Kongers that are moving to this part of Bristol. And so at Community Church, we've just welcomed about 25 or 30 Hong Kong people to be part of church. And when you listen to their stories, I'm not sure of your story, but talking to one of the women, she said, I don't want to be in Bristol. And I said, oh, but it's a lovely place, kind of the suspension bridge. And I want to be at home. But I was arrested too many times, I was beaten too many times, that I just had to leave. She was an activist for some of the political rights there. And she's here now in Bristol, but she's meeting with other Cantonese Hong Kongers, and actually she's meeting with our church, and to encourage one another to persevere, and to see her perseverance in the face of trial. It's just amazing to see her. She was helping with this festival yesterday, and just to see her smiling face when she's faced such leaving her home, leaving everything. She's persevering in Jesus. They join in with our first part of our service, and then when the children go out to their groups, they go out and there's a Cantonese preacher that comes to preach just for them. They have a little kind of Bible school where they can actually understand, actually in facing the trials, we've had to leave our home, we've had to leave everything. Where is God in our pain? Where is God in our trials? Who understands us? And as they meet together, they encourage one another. We must persevere. We must keep trusting. We must keep believing, even though we've lost our homes. Here we are to trust and find Jesus, to find his perseverance. And I suppose for me, I'm inspired by them. I'm inspired by their continued trust when it's been so hard and so difficult to leave what they've known. And they're here. But they're loving Jesus. And in the face of trials, to see this woman face filled with joy, and think, how come you're so... It's because of Jesus. She faces, as James says, faces trials and counts it as pure joy. Why? Because we know it perfects our faith. So as we take a chance to pray, that's what I'm thinking about at the moment. When Richard said, what are you thinking about? Well, that's how do we persevere? And for some of us, I know it's tricky and difficult. And we need to just know that we can't earn God's love. This morning, we can just receive it. And for some of you, that's the message for you, that you can't do anything to make God love you more or love you less. But for those of us that know that there's more in God's kingdom, there's more that he has for you personally, for you as a church, actually perseverance is something he's calling us to. In the love that's his love and the grace that's his grace. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your life that you richly and freely give. Thank you that because of Jesus, it's freely available to us. Actually, there's no price we could pay to earn that. There's nothing we could do. And we just say again this morning, we want to receive your affirmation and your love, because of who you are and because of what you've done. But where we know there's people here this morning and they've lost their mojo somehow, that's kind of they've lost their elasticity in their lives and they know there's more, Lord, I just want to pray this morning that you'd give them determination and perseverance to keep on going even when the answers to prayer don't seem to be there. Keep on going where yeah, things aren't being resolved, keep on going when they face trials of all kinds. And I pray they'd find joy, find your presence, find your hope. And we find ourselves being not ineffective, but finding the crown of life that you come to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.